Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, it's such a joy to be knowing that you are there with me and I'm enjoying your presence. I am. I know that Holy Spirit is here. He always is. He's such a helper all the time, giving me wonderful insight and wisdom as to what to say. And I know that there's a song of joy that God puts into your heart. Because you believe. That's the word. When the disciples asked Jesus, well, what are the works that we do to see what you have done, the miracles that you have done, Lord Jesus? And he said, you believe on him who he sent. That's all we do. We believe. And God fills up the void and everything else. Oh, this morning as I was going to the office, I realized there had been an electrical outage at the house. And so I didn't realize it had also been in the office because the office is attached to my home. Praise God. That's been such a blessing. So when I walked in, the monitor was off and everything was off. And I'm going, oh, no. So I, being the person that I am, which is a total ignorant of things that are technical. I crawl under the desk and I unplug and I plug and I unplug and I plug. And I'm doing this for about 15 minutes until my knees get sore. And then I get up in the chair and I try the monitor again underneath, turning it on and off. And then I'm sitting there saying, okay, Lord, I believe that you want the very best for me. And if I have to ride it out by hand today, I can do that. Because I still had about an hour. And so I was looking at the monitor and the tower and this precious voice. He said, Barbara, push the button. And after about 15 or 20 minutes of me trying all kinds of different things, I saw this little button on the tower. And I know some of you are laughing already. Oh, Barbara, some of you are laughing. Hit the button on the tower. He didn't say on the tower, just push the button. And so I pushed the button and it all worked. Oh, Holy Spirit is so precious. He is my bestest friend. Remember when you were little and they asked, who is your bestest friend? Well, my bestest friend is Holy Spirit. He's my comforter, my guide, my teacher. Oh, he tells me when I make mistakes with great love and mercy and kindness. And I thank Father God every day for Holy Spirit who is in me. And I hope you're enjoying his very presence right now. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. I'm so excited to be teaching this 2 Kings. Part of it is a passage and part of it are different chapters, but it's the double anointing that God gave to Elisha. Remember, Elijah was told, I want you to go and anoint Elisha. So we're going to talk about that today. You can hear Call to Freedom at 9 o'clock at night, 2:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning on 670 KLTT and on 1220 KLDC. I really enjoy listening to that at 11 o'clock. Oh, and I want to tell you that Kimberly is on kind of a sabbatical from the program because she's on a 10-day retreat and they put her in charge of the worship music. And so she said, Mom, I'm just kind of a little under stress because I haven't done worship and praise. Now, if you've come to the meetings, you know she's a great worshiper and praiser, but she hasn't been in front of a church atmosphere like that for probably 20 years. She used to be the praise and worship leader for 2 or 3 churches in Tulsa. And when she was younger and just graduated from Grace School. So I just wanted you to know that she will be back on the air, but not this week. So God bless you for praying for her. You can also get the newsletter. You can get a Bible guide. You can go into teaching, and in teaching is Darren Sessions. All of our CD series, my webmaster, Chris, put on online. So you can go to various ones and just click on and download and listen to them anytime, night or day, which is really a blessing, absolute blessing. You don't have to wait for a CD series to get there from the post office. Now, if you'd like a CD series, I can actually print off CDs for you if you request that. And you can call me at 1-877-917-7256. You can also donate online if you appreciate what this program gives to you and teaches you. Our memory verse for this week is Romans 14:17. And from the Living Translation, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's beautiful. It really is, to know that life is not made up of just filling our mouths with things. And the Passion says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but is in the realm of Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. So remember, when you know that Holy Spirit is in you, he's not around you, folks. When you are born again, when you have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, he is in you. It's just like when I was sitting in that chair in the office today, and he said, Barbara, press the button. I'll never forget that. It was just almost like it was verbal. I heard it audible. Oh, it was so cute. I laughed out loud. I really did. Oh, serving the anointed one by walking in these kingdom realities pleases God and earns the respect of others. Yesterday, I introduced you to an obedient prophet of God. Oh, Elijah. He was at the brook Kidron until it dried up. Then he went to Zarephath, and he was helping a widow for 3.5 years till the famine broke. Then he went on to run from Jezebel after he gave his sacrifice to God on the altar, and the fire fell and ate the sacrifice and even licked up the water. Then he runs from Jezebel and he goes to Mount Horeb, where God gives him three directives. One is to make Hazael the king of, he is the king of, not Moab, I've got to look that up. And then also Hazael and Jehu, who's the king of Israel. And also he's directing him to anoint Elisha. And this is where we hear of Elisha. So today I tell you about him. He was a powerful farmer. I mean, he must have been muscle bound, who was called by God and anointed by Elijah. Elijah went straight out and found Elisha in a field where there were 12 pair of yoked oxen at work, and they were plowing the field. Elisha was in charge of the 12th pair, so he had guys around him that were doing that. Kind of like the teams during harvesting, when we had combines in the field who were harvesting the crops, and that was so exciting. We used to go out there in the fields and watch them up and down the rows. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha deserted the oxen, ran after Elijah. You know why? Because when you throw your cloak on a person, that is a mantle of anointing and authority. And that's what Elijah did. All he had to do was throw his cloak on Elisha, and Elisha knew that he had been appointed. Please let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll follow you. Go ahead, said Elijah, but mind you, don't forget what I've just done to you. So Elisha left. He took his yoke of oxen and butchered them. He made a fire with a plow and tackle, and then boiled the meat, a true farewell meal for his family. So they had a final feast before he left with the prophet. And there were no times like they are now. Well, we'll see you at Thanksgiving. We'll see you at Christmas. When they left a family, they left a family. So he left and followed Elijah, becoming his right-hand man. That's so good. If you would like to listen to the double anointing of power, also the story of Elijah, plus the story of Elisha, that's under teaching, session 32. And that's Darren and me. We're teaching those on those CDs were teaching about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was mainly, the story is in 1 Kings to the end of 1 Kings into just the first two chapters where he is taken up to heaven, and then it ongoing through the 2 Kings is Elisha. Elisha said to Elijah, "Please let me inherit a double share, a double portion of your spirit, that I may become your successor." "And you have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I'm taken up from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. I just can't imagine it. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. So they were escorting him into heaven, the angels. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, I see the chariots. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. He picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. He didn't need it anymore. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided. That's miracle number one. If you can read through 2 Kings where Elisha is living and walking and doing all the miracles, start numbering them. That's what I did all these years. When I got a different Bible, I was numbering them again. So then the river divided. That's miracle number one. And Elisha went across. And of the 16 miracles that Elisha experienced by God, he got a double portion. If you will look at some of the miracles of Elijah, there were 8 specific miracles of Elijah. Then when Elisha asked for a double portion of anointing, God was in 16 miracles. It's amazing. So miracle 2 occurred when the men of the city said that the water was bad. Elisha said, "Bring me a new jar and put salt in it." When they did what Elisha requested, he said, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from there death or unfruitfulness any longer. And the waters have been pure to this day." So salt is a preservative, and it's in its purest form. See, we don't have pure on the grocery shelves. I do get Himalayan salt that I use for my cooking. But when you get the purest of salt, it's a preservative and it purifies. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. As they were walking, oh, this is such a terrible thing, a group of rebellious teens came out from the city. It's like an inner city gang. And they mocked him, saying, "Out of our way, old bald head." As Elisha walked away, rebuking them in the name of the Lord, 2 bears came out of the woods and killed 42 of the young men. So this was a huge gang of young men that went after Elisha, saying, "Out of our way, old bald head." Now, we know by that Elisha was bald, but also he was older. And maybe older meant, it's like when Dana asked me one time, do people live to be 32? When you're young, 32 seems old. So I don't know how old he was, but we know he was a bald head. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he was a good king, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom were going against Moab. Now, you're going to read about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:20, when he took the choir before the army of surrounding enemies, and they cheered and clapped and praised God and gave thanks to him. Well, that's Jehoshaphat, the same king of Judah, and the king of Edom were going against Moab. And after 7 days, they had run out of water for both army and animals. Now, we're having 3 nations come against one, Moab. So, you know, there are a lot of animals involved, a lot of army. And Jehoshaphat says, "Isn't there a prophet of God anywhere around through whom we can consult God?" And one of the servants of the king of Israel said, "Elisha is around somewhere, the one who was Elijah's right-hand man." Jehoshaphat said, "Good, a man we can trust." So he had heard about Elisha and Elijah, of course. So the three of them went to meet him. Elisha knew of the idolatry of Israel through Ahab and Jezebel and said to the king of Israel, "What do you and I have in common? Go consult the puppet prophets of your father and mother." He was talking to King Jehoram, who was Ahab's son. So he knew of the idolatry and the evil that Ahab and Jezebel had done to Israel. It's God who has got, and then the king of Israel replied, Jehoram, he was an evil king. It's God who has gotten us into this fix, dumping all three of us kings into the hand of Moab. It seems, folks, that the unbelieving are always blaming God, the God that they don't believe in, but they're always blaming him. So 14 and 15 of 2 Kings 3 says, Elisha said, "If it weren't for the respect I have for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't give you the time of day, but considering, bring me a minstrel." When a minstrel played, the power of God came on Elisha, and he directed the armies to dig ditches all over the valley. Do you know why we have praise and worship in churches today? We've had it for years and years and years. Because music opens the door of the hearts of the people listening. And then when the word is read, they have an open heart to understand and hear that word. So the minstrel came and played, and the power of God came on Elisha. And he directed the armies to dig ditches all over the valley. "Here's what will happen," he said. "You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain, but this valley is going to fill up with water, and your army and your animals will drink their fill." "This is easy for God to do," he said. "Nothing is too difficult for God. He will also hand over Moab to you. You will ravage the country, knock out its fortifications, level the key villages, clear out the orchards, clog the springs, and litter the cultivated fields with stones." That's what they did. They cut down trees. That's what the Arabs did when they came into the land, which is now Israel. They cut down all the trees, all the greenery, and they cultivated the fields with stones. And that's why when Kimberly visited Israel, she said, "Mom, it's such a stony country." Well, a lot of the enemy did that. So Israel is now clearing out the stones. Now, miracle three occurs in the 20th verse of 2 Kings 3. In the morning, the water had arrived, water pouring in from the west, from Edom, a flash flood filling the valley with water. Now, we know here in Colorado, when it begins to rain, there is lightning and thundering. Most of the time, I guess there are unusual circumstances where it doesn't happen, but the other day, I was in the backyard, and it just cracked. And so I said, "Okay, I think it's time to go in the house." And then we did get a sprinkling of rain, praise God. So a flash flood filling the valley with water. When Moab entered the camp of Israel, the Israelites were up on their feet, killing Moabites right and left. The Moabites running for their lives, Israelites relentless in pursuit. It was a slaughter. And when the king of Moab realized that he was fighting a losing battle, he took 700 swordsmen to hack a corridor past the king of Edom, but they didn't make it. Then, this is what happens when you live in an idolatrous country. And this is, God hated this, what Israel came to do. When he took his son, his firstborn son, who would succeed him as king, and sacrificed him on the city wall. Oh, such horrible things. And that set off furious anger against Israel. Israel pulled back and returned home. Miracle number four. A widow of one of the sons of the prophets told Elisha that the creditors were coming to take her two sons to work for them. Elisha said to her, "What do you have in your house?" "I have nothing except a jar of oil." Then Elisha told her to go to her neighbors and borrow empty vessels, lots of them. "Take your sons and pour out of the jar of oil into the vessels that you've borrowed." They filled the vessels to the very top, and then the oil stopped. Elisha told her, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Wow, the that's so good. And that's exactly what they did. And they lived on the rest. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. That's in 2 Kings 4. Then my favorite miracle story of Elisha's anointing, and there were 16, remember, 16 miracles, was miracle 5. It occurred also in 2 Kings 4. And his anointing occurred as he was staying with a very generous couple who built a room on top of their house for him to stay when he came by. They had no children. Elisha's servant, Gehazi, told Elisha the desires of the wife's heart is to have children. And when she came in Elisha's presence, he told her, "At this season next year, you shall embrace a son." And it happened, just as Elisha said. Have you ever been among a prophet or in the presence of a prophet or someone who is anointed, and they give a prophecy and it happens? I know that David Wilkerson was very, very well known for doing that kind of thing. And many other prophets have come during my lifetime. "At this season next year, you shall embrace a son." And it happened just as Elisha said. This precious Shunammite woman and her husband had a baby boy, and then the bottom dropped out. When you have something wonderful happen, sometimes doesn't it seem like, okay, when's the next shoe going to drop? What is going to happen? Because things have been so good, something bad is going to happen. That's what happens to us. Our minds go south. So then the bottom dropped out, and while the son was out in the field with his dad, he screamed, "My head, my head." It must have been an aneurysm or something that happened. The father brought the son to his wife, carried his son to his wife, and he died shortly after. She carried him up to Elisha's room, saddled a donkey, and quickly went to see Elisha. She knew who the godly man was. She knew who the prophet was. Elisha told Gehazi, "Run to meet her and say, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with you, child?'" Oh, I love this portion. I love this faith. I love the faith of this woman, and also the wonderful realization that when we praise God, when we give him all the glory, he's going to bring good things to pass. She answered and said to Gehazi, "It is well. It is well. It is well with me. It is well with my husband. It is well with my child." And I know that's a familiar hello in the Old Testament. It is well. God bless you. It is well. But I don't know if I could get that out of my mouth, that my son was well when he was dead in my house. When she finally came to Elisha, she threw herself at his feet and held tightly to him. Gehazi came up to pull her away, but the holy man said, "Leave her alone. Can't you see that she's in distress? But God doesn't let me in on why. I'm completely in the dark about this," because he knew that she had a son now. God had answered her prayer. So Gehazi went ahead of Elisha to the woman's home, came back and told Elisha the boy was not breathing. Elisha entered the house. Now, this must have been at least an hour or so, that the boy was dead. He entered the home and found the boy stretched out on the bed, dead. He went into the room and locked the door, just the two of them in the room. They prayed to God. He then got into bed with the boy, covered him with his body, mouth to mouth, eyes on eyes, hands on hands. As he was stretched out over him like that, the boy's body became warm. Elisha got up and paced back and forth in the room. Then he went back and stretched himself upon the boy again. The boy started sneezing. 7 times he sneezed and opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, "Get the Shunammite woman in here." He called her and she came in and he said, "Embrace your son." So it is well. It is well. The finality of all was, "It is well." Here is the beautiful song, "It Is Well."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Horatio Spafford wrote that song. In 1873, he planned a family trip to England to join the evangelistic campaign of Dwight L. Moody. And due to business delays, he sent his wife, Anna, and their four daughters ahead on a steamship. On November 22, 1873, the ship collided with another vessel and sank within 12 minutes, killing 226 people, including all four of Horatio Spafford's daughters. Anna survived and sent a telegram to Horatio that read, "Saved alone," marking the moment of profound grief that inspired the hymn. As Spafford sailed to meet his grieving wife, he passed the approximate location of the shipwreck. Overwhelmed by sorrow, yet anchored in faith, he penned the words of it, "It is well with my soul." Beginning with the line, "When peace like a river attendeth my way," the hymn reflects a conscious choice to trust God despite an imaginable loss, emphasizing spiritual peace that transcends circumstances. Its lyrics affirm the believer's assurance in salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of Christ's return, echoing biblical promises such as Philippians 4:7 and Romans 8:1 and Revelation 21:4. It's a declaration of faith. Spafford's words convey the true peace. It comes not from life's circumstances, but from God's presence and promises. Even in the face of repeated tragedies, including the later death of his only son, Spafford and Anna maintained their trust in God, demonstrating resilience and hope. Oh, I hope I've told you today something that is going to be an anchor for you in the hope and reassurance that God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, friend, He loves you with such a wonderful love. Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. I love you. I really do love you. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in